Hi, this is Jerome Gilmartin, JMJ Catholic Radio, bringing local and EWTN Catholic programming to northeastern and central Pennsylvania. Welcome to the In the Father's Hands program with host Mary Kate Grady. Mary Kate's guest today is Diana Ruzicka. Originally from Tennessee, she was raised in Sunnyvale, California. And she received her Bachelor of Science degree in nursing from San Jose State University in California. And she went on to receive her Master's of Science in nursing from Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, with a concentration in oncology and nursing administration. And Diana served in the military for 25 years, and then again for 6 months in 2020 to assist with the COVID-19 response. She's also been very involved in the National Association of Catholic Nurses, USA, serving twice as president. And currently, Diana is Secretary General of the International Catholic Committee of Nurses and Medical Social Assistance. She and her husband have been married for 38 years and live in Huntsville, Alabama, and they're blessed with 3 children and 3 grandchildren. Mary Kate?
Thank you so much, Jerry, and it's so good to be back with you all this week as we enter into the new season, the fall season. People are going back to school and getting back involved with different things, so we thank you for taking a break and joining us today. We're so happy to have you with us. And before we go on, of course, I always like to make a mention. Never forget to tune into JMJ Catholic Radio. There's wonderful programming, of course, some local and much EWTN programming, just to enrich us and encourage us in living out our Catholic faith. So I encourage you all to get the word around about JMJ Catholic Radio here in the Diocese of Scranton. And also with our program here in the Father's Hands, you can find us on JMJ Catholic Radios. We air on Saturdays and Sundays. And also we have a podcast. Just go into Google, type in the Father's Hands podcast, and you can find a couple different platforms to listen to our program in case you missed it during the week. So thank you all so much for that. Let's go ahead and delve into the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, as we always do, with the promise that Jesus gives us when he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this promise to always be with us, guarding us and guiding us in our life, and your promise of being with us always and taking care of us. And real quickly, before we join our guest here today, I want to read a little prayer that someone gave to me that I thought was so appropriate to the idea of the Father holding us in his hands. It's from St. Francis de Sales, and he says, "Have no fear for what tomorrow may bring. The same loving God who cares for you today will take care of you tomorrow and every day. God will either shield you from suffering or give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace then and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginations. And just rest in the Father's hands, knowing of his love and his providence for you." And now we're so happy today to have Diana join us. Diana, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me, Mary Kate.
And I was blessed to meet Diana actually in Philadelphia in the beginning of August. They had the conference, the International Conference for the Association of Catholic Nurses, and it was hosted in the U.S., but it's an international group, so there was people from all over the world, and it was so lovely to meet everybody. I enjoyed it so much, Diana, and it was so nice meeting you there as well.
I agree. It was wonderful.
It was great, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was, and we'll be meeting, the board will be meeting in Rome in February to look at our strategic planning for nurses across the world.
Great, that's so wonderful. And Diana, I would like to just jump right in asking you, as I do all my guests, if you would share with us maybe a favorite passage or verse of Scripture and why it's so meaningful to you.
My favorite passage is, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths." That's Proverbs 3:5-6. And I don't know why it's my favorite one, except for it gives me confidence that God is guiding our path and we just need to trust in him. And it has just popped out of the Bible to me. And so I have like a cross at home or two that have it on it so I can always remember that he is there.
And you know what, Diana, a dead giveaway is it's part of your email also. So I should have been able to guess this ahead of time. That was your favorite because I saw that with when we had emailed back and forth, you had that passage. So
yes.
I could tell that it means a lot to you.
It does.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And if we could just, you know, talk maybe a little bit about, if you wouldn't mind sharing, what are some ways you feel like in your life, you know, Jerry mentioned some different things you've been part of in your lifetime. And would you share with us some ways that you've really experienced God and his providence throughout your life?
So I wrote down several things. My earliest experience of God that I can remember is a little bit fuzzy, but he told me to write down all my impressions that I received in my heart. And I did not do that. I did collect an album of sayings that touched my heart, but I didn't write what the still small voice was saying. So fast forward to when I was working as a nursing assistant, my job at that time was to take waters or pass waters and take vital signs and just general assistance to the patients. And there was one patient I'd call Myrtle, who was very sick. She had a malabsorption syndrome, and she had fluid seeping from her skin. She was so edematous. And the nurses couldn't figure out why she actually wouldn't die, because they weren't able to cure this condition. Mm-hmm. So I kind of asked her, I said, Myrtle, why won't you die? Probably not the best way to do that, but and she explained to me that she was a Christian Scientist, and she believed that if she had faith, if she truly had faith, she could cure herself, she'd be healed. And so I just told her, you know, Myrtle, I'm Catholic, and I believe that faith can heal you, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's time to go home to Jesus, and it doesn't mean you don't have faith, it's just time. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a time to be born, a time to die. So after our discussions, she began sleeping more, and I would sit at her bedside after I finished my work and just hold her hand. And sometimes she'd open eyes and smile, and other times she wouldn't. But one Saturday night, this was interesting, I awoke from sleep. I was at home, and I saw the time on my clock, and Myrtle had come to me and said, I'm going, I'm fine. And she kind of floated away. And I knew she had died. And when I returned to work, I went directly to her room, saw the bed was made, the room was clean, she wasn't there. And I went to the nurse's station, and they were really concerned about me because they knew how much I cared about her. Mm-hmm. I just said, let me see the chart. What time did she die? And her time of death was the same time that she came to say goodbye to me. And
wow.
Since that experience in my late teens and early 20s, I've known that God exists and that there's life after death and that there's eternal life. So throughout my subsequent 40 years in nursing, I've asked people if they've had a spiritual experience with their relative or loved one when they've died. And I've heard some pretty awesome stories. But after I retired around 2008 or so, I would ask this question and people would say no, but they died comfortably. And the common thing was that they'd been given morphine or mm-hmm. when they were not in pain, or morphine in doses that exceeded that required to manage the pain. And I ran a pain management service, so I was very familiar with dosing of pain medicine. Or they were given morphine when there was a more effective method to manage their pain. So as I was contemplating a topic for my master's thesis, I decided to write on redemptive suffering and see why it's wrong to overdose a terminal patient. So divine providence was present when I was writing my thesis. And just a few examples are, my professor and I went back and forth about my topic. And every time I thought about changing the topic, someone would come out of the blue and tell me how their relative had been given large doses of morphine to hasten their death. A pharmacist at the People's Law School came and told me of a situation. I was teaching Steve Weidenkopf's church history class called EPIC, and a woman from the Holiness Church came on the military post to take this class. So that's very odd that someone from a different church would come. And I had been praying to God, and I'd been asking him, I need an example of a instance where a person had a spiritual experience and then didn't, another one didn't. And so it was very fortuitous. Her father had died, and he had not had large doses of morphine, though he could have taken it, but he didn't. And he saw his son in the room and actually had a conversation with his son as he was getting towards the end of his life. Then fast forward to when we were taking the class, her father-in-law just had a breathing problem that the doctor said they couldn't treat anymore. He was given high doses of morphine and died in 3 days because he couldn't eat or drink. And so it was, okay, thank you, God, for that story. And then there was another time I couldn't put the page numbers in the book, and I can paginate a document. That's not usually a problem. So I just sat on my back patio and said, okay, God, clearly I'm missing something. So I took the book to adoration, and I said, you know, I need to know what I'm missing in here. And I wish I had written down the process of writing the book, but I did not. And I don't remember what I was missing, but whatever it was, after I added it, the page numbers came into the book.
How about that?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was that. I can tell you more if you'd like to hear other situations.
Please, go ahead. Yeah, yes, I'm a nurse's aide. I love these kinds of stories. It's very interesting to me, so please go ahead.
Well, this is a little bit different one, and this is God's intervention, but through his mom. My husband and I went to get something called a global entry pass in Atlanta, so that's a 3-hour drive. And that was just so we didn't have to stand in line when we came back from Italy, where we went for our 30th anniversary. Or maybe it was in the year, the Jubilee year.
Okay. But anyway,
so we went there to get this global entry pass. And when we got into the office, the computers started not working after they had taken care of a few people. And I was wearing at the time a medallion that had the face of Jesus from the Shroud of Turin and a small miniature miraculous medal on the back. And it had been touched to Mother Angelica's body before her funeral, because EWTN and the shrine are just an hour and a half south of our house. So
okay.
I'd been down there. So anyway, the computers are not working. And this is the clearest I've ever heard a voice and in my heart. And the voice said, touch your miraculous medal to their computers and their hands. And in the room adjacent to us where the computers weren't working were 3 TSA agents with Tommy sticks and guns and all of our private information, you know, all the passports out. Mm. And another way was the restroom the other way. And so I said, clear as I said in my head, as my husband sitting next to me, not knowing any of this is going on, is, why can't I just sit here and pray? And so then I'm sitting there and waning, and then I hear the computers are out in D.C., the computers are out in the airport, and I'm thinking, okay, we just drove 3 hours. We just took vacation, and now we're not going to get this, but we'll just stand in line like we always do. And then, clear as a bell, I got the answers. Why can't I just sit here and pray? And the answer was, because no one will know I did anything. And I'm like, and this is, I'm a retired colonel, so this is very interesting. I took my book, I put it down, I flipped the, took the miraculous medal, the necklace off, flipped the miraculous medal to my thumb, and stood up and told my husband, I'll be back. Now, he thought I was going the other way to the bathroom. I stood up, I walked in the room, walked up to the big, tall man, and said, hi, this is a miraculous medal. I need to touch it to your hand. And where's your computer that's not working? I knew where his computer was, but I needed him to know where I was going. So
sure.
I walking over to this computer and I'm going, God, God, where do you want me to touch this? So I touch it to the monitor, and then I say to him, where's the lady whose computer's not working? Now I know she's in the next cube, but I need him to know where I'm going. So I go into the cube, and she looks at me like, you crazy woman. And I said, hi, this is Miraculous Metal. I need to touch it to your computer and to your hand. And then I acted like I was leaving, and there was one person right near the entrance. And then I beelined to his desk, and I said, hi, this is Miraculous Metal. I need to touch it to your computer and your hand, and maybe it'll heal your back. Now, I don't know that he had a problem with his back. I just know he walked in and said, I'm lucky to be walking. So I went out. My husband looked at me like, what did you just do? I sat down and I heard clear as a bell, you have not prayed your rosary today. So I reached in my purse, pulled out my rosary, and started praying the Joyful Mysteries because it was Monday. The lady looked at me with dagger eyes from across the room, and I thought, honey, you need to be appreciative, you know, because we're going to get there today. And so
I'm trying to help you out.
Yeah. So I get through those five mysteries, and then I, or decades, and then I start the joy, the luminous mysteries. And on the second decade, they call my husband back. It was not his turn, but they called him back. And the man said, well, let's see if the computers are working now. And my husband said, all he could think of was, my wife was in here. I'm sure they're working. So he was out in a flash. And then they called the next four people. And then I went in, and the lady called me, and I went to sit down. She goes, what you did worked. And I said, well, that's the Miraculous Medal. It was given by Mary, the Mother of God, to St. Catherine Laboure in 1683. And I sat down, and we had a wonderful conversation. We got our global entry passes in record time in the mail, too. And I told her, we left. I said, you know what? We have to go thank God. We have to go to the church. We have to light a candle in front of Jesus and Mary and say thank you and go to Mass.
Yeah. So
that was pretty amazing.
That's awesome.
And that's probably the most amazing one. And I think God did that for my husband, because I believe in all these things, but I think it was helpful for him to see something like that happen.
Sure. Yeah, sometimes God, I think, sets up different scenarios because he needs certain people to see his glory and his power. And maybe it's not always for us. And I think sometimes he puts us on the spot, you know.
Yeah.
Like he kind of puts you on the spot there, you know.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, I'm just kind of standing up like, what am I doing?
That's so great. Would you say that in your life, in the military, but also, you know, as a nurse and all that you've done, that, you know, maybe there's things that you wouldn't have done if, like, you didn't have your faith or God wasn't, like, leading you to do it?
Probably. Probably.
I know for myself in nursing, I can be a bit of a shy person, but something that I realized is that different times when I'm at the hospital and I feel like maybe a person needs to see a priest, or need some kind of, like, maybe like a holy card or someone to mention something to them. It is not like me to kind of branch out and say things to people, but, like, because of my faith in God, I'm motivated to kind of reach out beyond myself, and I find myself doing things that I would never normally do.
Well, yes. Yeah. So one time I was the chief nurse at Fort Carson, our military hospital in Colorado Springs. And a lady was deteriorating in the ICU, and she her vital signs, her numbers kept going bad. And it's like, boy, I got this impression, if something doesn't turn around, this lady's going to die. And I got a feeling in my heart, go over and see her. And so I went across the hospital. I said, God, what do you want me to do? I mean, I'm not an ICU nurse. And so what I felt I needed to do was just hold her hand and talk to her. And so I started talking to her, and she told me a bunch of concerns that she had. And I said, well, we can take care of that. You know, we can take care of that. And so I got her assistance with those concerns. And the next day, her vital signs and her chemistry and all her numbers started changing. And I went, oh, well, that was interesting. So, you know, like bookmark thing. And then, so then another day, soon after that, there was another lady who was doing very badly. And so I went over thinking, Diana, I would go over and help this lady because I didn't get any prompting to go do that. And I went in the room, and it was almost like there was this block that she really didn't want help, and there wasn't help I could give her because it appeared that she enjoyed her daughter's taking care of her in her illness. And there, spiritually, there was not any allowance for me to help. I don't know if to describe that, but it was just very different, very different. So it's, I think we always have to listen to God's prompting, and it's not us. It's
right.
God.
Absolutely, yeah. Wow, thank you for sharing all these different stories. They're so encouraging, and it's so wonderful sometimes to sit back and reflect upon what God has done in our life and how he's reached in there and worked through us or worked through other people for us, you know?
Yes.
I'm sure you've experienced this in all your many years of, you know, sometimes I know for myself, I go to work thinking I'm going to be helping people out, and then they end up helping me, you know?
Yes.
I'm sure you know that full well. It's always amazing how that goes. It's humbling sometimes, but it's, like, beautiful, too. You're like, okay, God, like, you're in this for me as well, you know?
That's right. So, that's right.
If you wouldn't mind me asking you, if you could share with the audience a little bit about the National Association of Catholic Nurses. Now, it is international, correct? But you were president of the USA chapter?
Right. So there is a National Association of Catholic Nurses, and there are Catholic Nurses Associations in a variety of countries around the world. And all of those associations then become members of the International Catholic Committee of Nurses and Medico-Social Assistants. And Medico-Social Assistants is actually the title that was given to advanced practice nurses in Asia following World War II because they weren't allowed to retain the title of nurse. So it's essentially an association of nurses and advanced practice nurses and midwives, of course. But the National Association of Catholic Nurses USA is the United States Association that's a member. And this is an association that brings together local councils or guilds of Catholic nurses and individual members who share like beliefs. You know, we're faithful to the teachings of the Magisterium, of course, of Jesus. And we did host the International Catholic Nurses World Congress in Pennsylvania, which we mentioned earlier at the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa. But we provide educational programs, spiritual nourishment, patient advocacy, and integrate faith and health. And we promote the Catholic nursing ethic and advocate for patients. So we signed on to that amicus brief for the Dobbs decision,
okay.
Reversing Roe versus Wade and other things like that. Pope Pius XII said, all nurses should belong to a Catholic Association of Nursing in 1935 when he addressed 2,000 nurses in Rome in 1935.
Now, so a question, just more of a detailed question for you. Can all different people in the medical field, like, is it not just nurses? Is it also like nurse practitioners and doctors? And is it kind of all encompassing all sorts of medical people?
Yes, all health professionals can join. Nurses are regular members, and then others may be associate members.
Okay. And what website would they go on there, Diana, to find out more about this?
NACN-USA.org. So N as a National Association of Catholic Nurses-USA.org, but it's NACN-USA.org.
And one last question for you. Congratulations. You had actually told me this when I met you down in Philadelphia, but just recently, I believe, you were elected the Secretary General. And what is your position? What kind of work are you doing now in that position as Secretary General?
Well, apparently I'm running the organization. So,
whoa.
So
that's a lot.
It is a lot. So, yeah, I'm discovering what I'm doing new every day. So it's a great group of nurses. But again, it's coordinating through. Actually, there's regional presidents for the Asian region, the European region, the African region, and the Pan American region. That's pretty huge. That's North and South America. Of course, Africa is pretty huge, too. And so I coordinate the work of the organization.
Oh, Diana, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us as we're wrapping up here today, a little bit about some of the books that you've put together.
I wrote my master's thesis on redemptive suffering. And during that time, I helped one of our good friends who was dying of cancer. So it chronicles her death as well as the church's teaching on redemptive suffering. I just finished the Book of Nurse Saints, which is a compilation of different biographies, and one on Fatima and Stations of the Cross of the Holy Face. And they're available at www.luzcka.com. And you have to search my last name, R-U-Z-I-C-K-A, Ruzicka. Some are available also on Amazon.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And it was so great having you on today. Truly a pleasure, Diana. And keep up the good work. And thank you so much for being on.
God bless you, Mary Kate. Thank you.
All right, you too. Bye to you all.